This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidhar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Boulevard Naka and welcome to Neesh and Footy Fridays, your Pacifica preview for the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name's Sam Wykes, and with me is the Cook Island, Wakefield, St. Clair Comet legend, Chinidhar Arona T.
Kia ora, brother. How are we?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you, mate?
How are you feeling?
Why? Is this, should I?
You feel, or you look, a one year older.
Oh.
Happy birthday, my mate.
Oh, thanks, brother. Where's he going with this?
Yes.
Yeah, 25. Turned 25.
It was his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Sammy. In a bit of a good mood today because... Happy
birthday. Is this you singing,
is that Elvis? But yes, in a very good mood. I was at the Anzac Day game where the Roosters took on the Dragons yesterday. And the Roosters, wow, they were on fire. I was touching on a bit shortly, but they won that game. It was 60-18, the Roosters won. But I just want to paint the picture of that, the atmosphere there, the environment. So had some pretty cool seats. It was played in Sydney at the home of Sydney Roosters.
Did you pay for those tickets?
No, I didn't actually.
Yeah, I thought so.
But it was the Dragons' home game. So each year it would be Dragons, Roosters, Dragons, Roosters. So this year was Dragons. So it's strange to see a lot of red and white jerseys in the Sydney Roosters' home stadium. But, you know, they had the all the Anzac Day ceremonies taking place before the game. It was really cool to see the teams come out and they do the national anthem, the last post. And, you know, had the both New Zealand and Australia flags presented on the field. And I was just standing there watching the game and watching them stand, singing the anthems. And I was like, man, I felt pretty privileged and honoured to be a part of one of them games. And I showed you this morning, Samuel, my Facebook memories, 2012. I just mentioned how 40,000 people were at the game that I got to play at. Didn't get the result, but very honoured to play in that game.
You know, obviously you've played test match league and you hear the anthem and that gives you that buzz. What's it like when you're standing out on the field and you hear the last post? Like, what are the thoughts going through your head? And is it a different feeling as opposed to like a test match in a normal game?
Yeah, very different. I think it's more, for me, it was gratitude, memories of those times where our soldiers had to, men in Australia and New Zealand had to go to war, and you're just there thinking, man, grateful to be here because of the sacrifices that these young men and women made back in the day during them hard times. So it was more, yeah, very honoured and privileged and grateful in that moment. So, yeah, it was a pretty cool game to watch, and I'll touch on that shortly. Totai Kefu will catch up with our rugby union legend. He'll cover the Super W final this weekend and also other rugby news. And we'll also catch up with Sala Tongatuki, who just come back off the back of her second New South Wales Origin in-house game.
Kia ora, everyone. My name's Kao Ito, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
Well, there's always plenty to get through rugby league, as T already touched on the Anzac Day game with the Roosters and the Dragons, which he already talked to us about, you know, the experience. But T, let's rip into rugby league.
Yeah, so the first game on Anzac Day, so we had three games yesterday on Anzac Day. We had Warriors versus the Titans in New Zealand. The Titans getting their first win off the mark.
Oh, how good.
They're on the board.
Away from home as well.
27-24, a close one to the Warriors. Now, Warriors coming off the back of the Dragons loss last week, so that's two in a row. Probably in a little bit of a slump at the moment, but as you say, you want to get them done early, try and learn these lessons so you're playing in the business end of the season. Not being a Warriors fan here, but yeah.
I love how you justify losses, you know, to get back on the horse. I love it.
That's only because I was talking to Dylan. I'm like, everything all good, brother? And he goes, oh, it's all good. We'll come back from
now.
But get it all done. But I thought David Fifita, mate, coming off the bench, and he just made a huge impact, made 9 tackle breaks. So most in the game. We had Roger Toivasa-Sheck. He had 8. But Dave, off the big David, off the bench, making 9 and also scoring a great try himself.
Only 5 metres out. Plays the ball left-hand side of the uprights. Randall looks right, gives it to Fifita! David Fifita uses the big right claw to plant it. He had 2 around him, but they couldn't stop the claw. And the Titans lead.
And I mentioned the experience of the Roosters game. Now, that game was kicked off. I mentioned Jared Wader Hargraves. So he takes the first, after all the ceremonies at the start of the game, then he just takes this big hit up off the back fence, runs towards about 4 Dragons defenders, and then squares up Moses Sully, and then brings up his bumpers. But I think it was his head. It was head on head, and then it knocked out Moses. So he was out for the rest of the game due to concussion, but that just set the tone for that whole game. I thought the middles for the Roosters were strong. Jared ended up making 167 metres, the most for any forward in the game.
You know, when he squares that one defender up off the back fence, you would have had that hit up many a times. Is that the technique that you do, try and square up one player to go at him, or are you trying to get through 2 players as in to find the space?
I think it depends on what your style of carry is. I know training and working with Jared, we used to say, what's better, running between running at 2 shoulders or 1 chest? So if there's 4 players in front of you and you can try and square up a chest, usually you can create space to try and find the ground. Whereas if you try and run in between a hole, you're coming in between two shoulders that are ready to bang. So it's a technique thing. I was actually talking to my son during this game saying, oh, how cool is that carry off the back fence? And seeing different styles where some middles have gone and turned their shoulder to make themselves hard to tackle. Some guys will do late footwork to try and find the ground. And you got big Jared who just runs.
The old bull. Man,
up,
I love that insight.
Up the gut. So.
I love that insight.
And then Joseph Manu, our Cook Island brother. I'm going to touch on next week on our moment of the week on how much this guy has made an impact for the Cook Island community. But just in this game, he was one of the stars, along with the man of the match, Sam Walker. But I thought Joey Manu as well. He ran for 150 metres. He scored 2 tries. But the last try was Samoan Joseph Suoli'i, who finishes a crazy round-the-back set up by Egan Butcher.
Butcher played the ball to Watson. Short side left, Walker, Manu. A flickeroo from Megan Butcher. Back to Joseph Suoli'i. Reaches out and scores. I'm telling you, the Roosters are the Harlem Globetrotters. The Dragons are the Washington Generals. But they're not even as good as the Washington Generals. Try to the Roosters. Suoli'i gets it. What about the flick from Egan Butcher? What about the defence inside the 10? What about the score? 3:12 to go. Roosters 58, Dragons 18.
I mentioned earlier, Sammy, the red and white jerseys that were in the stadium around about that
time. Yeah, what time did they leave the stadium?
There wasn't many red and white jerseys in the stadium at that time. So as you heard, there was about 3 and a bit minutes ago, and most of them had left the stadium, and it was just Roosters fans left to celebrate after the game. After this game, they had the Melbourne Storm take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. This game was played in Melbourne. Melbourne winning 54-20. Now, there's been a bit of pressure on the Rabbitohs, and you can see the fight in them, but you're coming up a solid, solid Storm team that are edging out some real close wins, but they say those wins are the important ones. You know, winning those close games, especially early in the season, you want to get on the board. And their spine are really connected, and then the players around them just play their role. So you got guys like Eli Katoa on the back row. You can see that those kinds of players that are just coming in, playing their role, and then you've also got Joey Chan. He's come over from, actually, France. He played for the Catalans. His dad.
Oh, he played where his dad is.
Yeah, yeah. His dad, Alex Chan, is the. He's played NRL as well.
Played Melbourne Storm. Played Parramatta Eels.
Yep. He is the footy manager at the Catalans. He also lived out at Colleton in Western Sydney where I lived. So Joey Chan, it's good to see him playing NRL and playing some good footy as well. And he also scored a nice try himself.
Meany goes left now. Kicking across field is Hughes going up, waiting for it. Taking it beautifully and scoring the try, I think you'll find, is Joe Chan. Oh, what a take. What a kick from Jerome Hughes. And Joe Chan, close to the line, comes up with it. Scores the try for the Melbourne Storm.
Would have liked a little bit more energy in that. We've just gone some great energy from Forfafita and Suoliti, and then
the Harlem Globetrotters.
Poor Joey Chan just got the...
Well done, mate.
Well, it was the third game of the day, and Anzac Day is a big, you know, big day from the Dawn service, 5 a.m. So
just I will pump up his tires. An outstanding try there from Chani.
But there's a lot more news to go through. So with Penrith Panthers, Sunia Turuva, so Tito, he is off to the Tigers on a 3-year deal, joining Jerome Luai from the Panthers. So I know there was a bit of chat, the Dragons were trying to get him over, but I reckon Jerome was a big draw card, Tito going to the Tigers. But they also have another Fijian, Jareem Buller, that would have persuaded Tito to come to join the Tigers.
Man, Penrith must be, I don't know, they'll be filthy but also happy. You know, obviously there's a salary cap that can't keep every player, so I'm sure they're happy to know that they've helped set up the future of their juniors coming through, but also they must be always disappointed the fact that they're just going to keep losing stars. But as you always keep alluding to, plenty of talent out west.
Mate, plenty, plenty. And I know they've got some good plans. Well, hope they've got some good plans for the future. We've also seen Kulikefu Fenefiuyaki heading to the Dolphins from the Cowboys. I reckon he's been one of the informed players for the Cowboys. Young rookie. He was actually in the NRL rookie camp this year where I've seen him lead a bit of the cultural stuff for the rookies in that camp. Kulikefu heading to the Dolphins. It's a huge signing, I think.
Yeah, it will be, especially with, I guess, Kafusi. You know, he's not getting younger, especially the Bromwich brothers. They're not getting younger. So someone like him just comes in. It'll be a seamless transition for the Dolphins, I think.
Yeah, and staying on the Cowboys, we have Nguyen and Samoan Helam Luki, who is extended. He has extended his contract to the end of 2029. So you lose one back rower, but then you extend the other. So great work on Helam. He's another, I reckon he's going to play Queensland in the next few years. I'm not going to say Smokey, because when you say Smokey, it doesn't happen. and then just finally on Rugby League, we've also seen Samoan Josh Schuster. He has been released from the Manly Sea Eagles from his final 3 years of his contract. So interesting to see where he ends up. Whether it's at a different NRL club or maybe over in rugby union, we'll see.
Ooh, I reckon he would make a good...
Nah, I just threw that in there. He's staying in the league, mate.
I'm going to get him over. I reckon he could play a good back row, a good 12. Yeah, we'll see how we go. But are we moving over to rugby union or do you still have more league news?
Nah, that's it. That's enough for league. We'll let you have a crack. But a lot of news coming from our Nigerian rugby league boys.
Oh, thanks for letting me have a crack, mate. It's a pleasure. But yeah, plenty of rugby league going on. Outstanding work from the NRL with Anzac Day having those three games played. And this week, rugby union, we're going to start with the grand final in the Super W. The New South Wales Waratahs, heavy favourites against back-to-back champions Fijian Drua. The Drua will be without prop Ana Koravata. She'll be missing, but they have a handy replacement. Her former captain, Pitile Tawake, she comes back into the Drua starting side for the first time this year. She's been playing over with the Chiefs Manawa in the Super Rugby Old Piki. The Fijian Drua will also be without the powerhouse centre, Merawai Dumu. She's still recovering from her head knock from a couple of weeks ago. She's going to be missed because they need her punch in the midfield. But plenty of strike power in the back line. Hopefully, Buna gets plenty of space and time with the ball. The game will be played at Ballymore Stadium in Brisbane, 4 p.m. on Sunday. So get around that one up there if you're in Brisbane, because it'll be a cracker game with those two sides. For that tip on that one, T?
I'm going to wait for Big Kef's.
Okay, wait for Big Kef. I'm sure he's going to give the good oil. And I'm going to go the opposite and probably get it wrong. So we'll see how we go there. But also in rugby news, Women's Six Nations wrapping up this weekend. Two teams, England and France. They'll be playing to see who wins it. This is a, yeah, as I said, interesting one here. We've got Exeter Chiefs back rower, Maddie, hopefully I say this right, Fionati, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Fionati.
She's a Samoan. She plays for England. She's a daughter of a former Samoan player, Zach Fionati. But he played Jonah Lomu in the movie Invictus in 2019.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. The daughter's playing in that game. But
Was he a player?
He was a player. Played for Samoa back in the day.
And an actor.
But that's the thing. The acting, I'm just not a fan of a Samoan playing a Tongan.
A legend of a Tongan.
Is that play on? I'm sure there's a few. No, I'm joking. He did a great job in that one. But yeah, plenty of talent over there in the UK. But moving over to the sevens format, the shorter format of the game, we have 12 teams playing for one spot in the Olympics in June. The pools have been drawn. We're in the men's. We have Tonga, South Africa, Mexico, and Chile. PNG have drawn Spain, Hong Kong, and Brazil. In the women's, PNG and Samoa in the same pool alongside Argentina and Kenya. So all the best to all our Nigerian players fighting off for those spots for hopefully to play in the Olympics. But I'm going to leak some news here. Is that play
here
on?
We go. Here Let's we go. Go. What do you got for us?
Should I do it? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. So the Wallaroos team will be announced.
So it's not announced.
It's not announced yet. But I won't say a name, but it's my cousin, and her last name is Sikimeti. I didn't say her full name, so it could be any Sikimeti out there. I feel like she's been called into the squad because I'm only saying it feels like she's been called into the squad because I got a missed call from her dad early this morning. He said, please give me a call. I've got some great news. So,
oh, it's done. It's
I'm assuming she might be in there. Again, I don't know for sure. I'm just going off her dad's. Has told a few lies in the past, but we'll find out more on Monday when the whole
What if it's her dad calling you saying, I've got some good news. She didn't make the team, but I gave the selector a hiding.
Well, either way, it's going to be great news on Monday where we can confirm if she's in or out and if the coach is, yeah. He's all good. But there you go. There's some rugby union news for the week.
Yeah, let's head back to rugby league and catch up with Sala Tongatuki.
The rugby league preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Each Friday, we are blessed with her presence, our Fetu Samoan representative and New South Wales and NRLW superstar, Premiership winner for the Roosters and Tigers best and fairest, the one and only Sala Tongatuki. Sala, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, T. Oh, you're too much, was it? I feel like nervous every time you bring that up.
I've got to bring you straight in. Got to come in with that energy. Let's go straight into your footy. I know we spoke last week about that first trial. Tell us about the second one and how your week's been.
Yeah, so the second trial that we had on a weekend, it was meant to be our last, but then apparently the quality of it was that good that they couldn't pick the team. So then they actually decided to have one more trial, which is this Saturday, but it'll be at nighttime. I think it just sort of, they just wanted to try nighttime, just more around Origin. That's when Origin sort of played out. So we'll get a feel of it and hopefully played to our best, and then, yeah, I guess they will pick the team after this Saturday, and that's definitely the last because I think they've only got 2-3 weeks to sort of prepare the team and fly to Brisbane. So I think by Sunday or Monday we'll get a phone call whether we make it or not. But, yeah, body was really sore. I bet a lot of the girls' bodies would have been sore too. I think each week we've just been chipping away and, our S&C, Tommy's, he's conditioning programs have been great. Like, it's actually showing on the field for us. So we're sort of just buying into that, and we know we're getting a lot out of it. So, yeah, everyone's getting fit week in, week out, and it's just, I think it's making it harder for them, giving them headaches and that, on what players to pick. Like, any jersey can be given, and it could be like a brand new squad. Like, that's how good the depth is of our squad. So it'll be interesting to see who gets picked.
Yeah. That's a good headache to have for New South Wales women's. You just reminded me that the first game of the women's Origin is on the 16th of May, so we're only a few weeks away. So you're going to have one more trial tomorrow on a Saturday, and then hopefully the team will be picked by Sunday, Monday.
Pretty much, yeah. So we'll get teams. We don't even know what teams we're playing in yet, too. So I guess that, like, a lot of girls normally have, like, teams come out on Tuesdays, I think, for NRL and NRLW too.
Yeah.
And we normally have that, like, couple of days and that leading into our game, but to prepare who we're going up against, where we're at, like, whether we're starting or coming off the bench. So it can be a mental thing, but I guess that's what Origin's about. It's a mental game. So it's that intense, and I guess this is just them trying to help us work on that. So, yeah, we're just waiting for that team list to be to be released today.
So you mentioned it's a night game. So are you possibles, probables, whatever the team is it treating it exactly like Origin preparation? So same time, kick off, go through pre-match routine and all that, try and get all the nerves out. So that's what we're trying to simulate here for that game?
100%, Sam. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. Given that we don't really have much, like, games and that to play, like, match fitness-wise and that, so I think a lot of the girls are lucky that we're getting this third trial. And those probably are, I don't know, there's probably players that aren't used to playing at nighttime. And I know from my experience, it's a different kind of game playing at night. You got the whole day, like, to do whatever. I feel like I prefer to play sort of daytime games. I just feel like my energy is, like, sort of gone out the window by the time we get to, like, afternoon, like, games and that. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
do you sleep when it's a night game? Are you a sleeper during the day? Or do you have, like, a pregame walk where you, like, there's primers, say 4 hours out, where you know, some people do weight sessions now as a primer, so they do get that buzz. Do you do anything like that?
No, I'll be honest with you guys. So if we're playing a night game, so the night before, I know everyone says go bed at 8, 9 p.m. I actually, like, try and like, I don't know, get 10 hours sleep in. And if I want to wake up, like, around, I don't know, 11 in the morning, so I'm not, I only get up and have my meal and then go for a walk, I'll actually go to sleep, like, late at night or, like, sometimes midnight.
I did the same.
Yeah.
I always found it strange that during the week you'd be in bed by 8 o'clock, but then come Friday or Saturday you're playing a game ready to get the highest, you know, have the highest energy rush at 8 when you're usually in bed, so makes sense 100%. To push your sleeping time a bit later.
It's hectic. Like, all our training sessions have been, like, late as well.
Just want to quickly touch on the trial process. Has it been mentally tough for you or the other girls, this whole process of the trial, like, three trials leading into selections?
I think the last 2 weeks, it's like it can play in your head. Like, if you're not starting that, it's like, oh, well, like, I probably don't have a chance of actually making the team at all because you're coming off the bench. I don't know. I don't think it's a mental thing. Like, everyone's looking sweet, just the way they've been preparing and playing and even training. So, yeah, and it's just it's comforting to know that, like I said, the S&C's, his programs have been working for us. And I think a lot of the girls are just happy and grateful for the experience of being in the Pathways system, only because, like, this is something we've being given before our NRW preseason and Harvey Norman. So, like, for me, I'm grateful. Like, if I don't make it, I'll be, like, really, really happy for the girls that do make it, because at the end of the day, it's a goal to beat Queensland. And I just want, I'd probably just support the girls in that. But if I am in that squad, I'll be cheering, like, you know, be giving all thanks to God. Yeah, I'll be happy whoever makes it.
If you don't make it, I'm not watching the game, and I'm going to make some noise on Nijan footy and complain if you don't make it, all right? So
we'll play our role.
We've got our other Nijan sister there, who might make it. I don't know, who could be in that back five. It's a lot of girls fighting for that spot. So it'll be interesting, like I said. And I can't really drop names of who could be in contention.
Nah, you'll be sweet, Jazz. You'll be sweet.
It's all good. You've got one game tomorrow, and then I know it's a bit dewy at night time, so get that sticky, that can of sticky spray
the
out.
Glue on the hands.
And just run over people like you usually do. So I know you'll do well. So let's move on. So yesterday we had the Anzac game. We had three Anzac games being played, and I want to ask you, what stood out to you?
So the Warriors and Titans game, I've been speaking on his play week in, week out. Even his work rate was just, I know he was on a losing side, but you can't fault him for his two tries. He's probably already know 200 plus meter runs like from middle. That's pretty crazy. Work rate, Adam Fanua Blake, a crazy player. Like he's, second try, you just don't find that in an engine. Like, he was so good for the Warriors. They were just, I feel like they just let themselves down because their errors and penalties conceded. But, yeah, I feel like they gave Titans that field position. They gifted that again. Mm-hmm. Titans, David Fifita, impact off the damn bench.
I mentioned that.
Literally, I know, right? Nine tackle breaks.
Yeah, the Tongans. Yeah, up the Tongans.
No, seriously, yeah, up the Tongans for this one. Three offloads and 29 tackles, zero miss. Like, man, that he literally brought the Titans back into play. I guess they just they really capped off his work and pretty much, yeah, just went all the way and get that 2 points.
Mate, two Tongans making waves in the NRL. Can't wait to see them both represent the Matema Tonga at the end of the year. If David does choose Tonga of Australia, if they decide, but
has he represented Tonga?
He's played four games, four games for Tonga. But also, I forgot to mention a quick shout out to Chance Nickel Klogstad. It was his 100th NRL game. On the weekend. So congratulations to another Cook Island brother of mine. And you know, it'd be nice to see him wear the green and gold again for the Cook Islands one day. So great work to Chance and, you know, proud of him and his family. Looking to the rest of the NRL this weekend, what games stand out for you and who are you keeping your eye on?
Panthers and Cowboys. I know Cowboys, I'm hoping they bounce back from their big loss to the Sharks last week. But I'm going to back Penrith in this game, obviously. They're just a masterclass team, and they've got Cleary back in that squad. So it'll be nice to see how the Luai and Cleary combo make up again for those last couple of weeks. I know when you're sidelined for a while, like, it's sort of hard to find feet again, but I don't think he'll struggle with that. And I feel like if Cowboys don't have a chance at beating Penrith, they'll probably need to do what any other team needs to do, is complete their sets, build pressure, and just compete for the full 80 minutes. Last week, they missed 39 tackles and had 18 ineffective tackles. That allowed Sharks to offload 12 times, and probably those led into some points, I say, but this says a lot on their defence, which needs some tidying up. I know the Cowboys know they can't afford to repeat this again. Against the three-peat champs. And I know that Penrith probably be looking to exploit those opportunities around, an attack. So Todd would have done some preparations with his team this week just to sort of, tidy that up. And, I guess attack Penrith too. Brad's done a great job in a half and I'm replacing Cleary for those couple of first rounds. But like I said, I'm keen to see how Cleary runs out with Luai again and see that kind of Penrith style footy. It's they've been in patches a bit, but they've just been getting the job done. So, my eye to keep a lookout for in this round, in this game particularly, is Sunia Taruva. So players normally play great when things are going well for them off the field, and we all see that he just secured a big signing with the Tigers. That would have brought a lot of ease to his mind. T, you would have had experience, you're trying to do your negotiations in the middle of the season, but you're also trying to focus on your job and going back and forth, you just don't know where your future is sort of lying at. And seeing Tito pick up that contract for the next 3 years, it's pretty big. And he's been playing amazing like the last couple of rounds for Penrith. And I'm calling it that I'm probably expecting a big game from him this round. Just, you know, being happy. I know from my experience, I was so happy when I closed my deal and was just able to focus now on just, you know, my job for the club and just, you know, finish on a high. But it wasn't easy. It's not easy when you're leaving a great club to go to another good one. So, yeah, we're keen to see how Tito goes. And Jason Tamalolo, coming off the bench, he was quiet last week. Not sure if he's just slowly building his minutes or what Todd's plan is around that, but I'm hoping he runs a rampage in the middle like Nelson did against Souths last night, apparently. So it'd be nice to see how he sort of steers the Cowboys and up against the Penrith boys.
All right. Well, on that note, Salah, thanks again. And all the best tomorrow. Make sure use that sticky spray. Go out and smash your opposition. And hopefully we will be seeing your name on that team list, if not on Sunday, early next week. Because if not, we're going to be making some noise here on Nation Footy.
Oh, thanks, boys. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All the best. Easy. Take care.
Thanks, Salah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Recipe of the week.
Before we get to our recipe, Sammy, I just want to
What's more important than my recipe, mate?
Mate, share with our listeners that they can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. That is what.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
That's pretty important. But let's go back to your recipe this week. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, in terms of information, that information is going to be a lot better than this one because I'm going more of a personal sort of superstition that I would always have to eat the night before the game.
So on game day, you'll have a smoothie.
Yeah, it was smoothie. So I used to think
the night before.
Yeah, I used to think when I reflected back on last week or when was I here? Can't even remember. I'm away that much. That I'd spew because of the pasta and stuff. And I thought actually was it because of my snacks the night before? Were you a snacker the night before?
Mate, tell me this is a recipe and not just something you've gone and bought from Woolies.
No, but the recipe is there's a method and ingredients that go into it. Where you
don't cook. So, I was a snacker and yeah. I did like, so what, I still am a snacker.
Yeah, same. But I used to love going to the movies to watch anything. No matter what was on, I used to love going to the movies and I would have to get...
You'd make your own recipe at the movies.
Yeah. So I'd get the popcorn, right? And then... It had to be peanut chocolate to pour inside the popcorn, and I'd shake it all around.
So coated peanuts.
Yeah, coated peanuts.
Chocolate coated peanuts.
Yeah, put it in the popcorn. And so when I put my hand inside the popcorn and stuff, like I just grab them all together, shove it in my mouth, and you get that beautiful sweet and savory taste.
Wait, experience in your mouth. This is your recipe of the week.
This is my recipe because I thought
popcorn and... Chocolate-covered peanuts.
In together, so that's one. And then
You forgot to do recipe.
No. I'm just thinking because everyone's got a pre-game snack.
You forgot.
I didn't. I thought that's it.
Okay, so what was that? What's that dish called?
It's called the choc corn.
The choc corn.
Choc corn.
Well, there's your recipe of the week for all our listeners. Now, man, we need to get out of this segment and go to Toto Kefu and something cover decent. All the rugby union.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu.
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby Queensland Reds and Ikaletahi legend Totai Kefu Kefs. Great to have you on, brother. Great to have you on.
Always a pleasure to join you boys for a chat on Friday morning.
It's what I look forward to the most, mate, just seeing you in that beautiful hat that you're wearing, the Ikaletahi hat. So let's just jump straight into rugby union. Super W, grand final. The Drewers trying to go for a three-peat up against a red-hot Waratahs. What's your thoughts here?
Yes, well, I spoke to the head coach yesterday, Mr. Muj Raulini. He's a good friend of mine. And they're training just down the road here, actually, in another hour. So I might pop down and just have a little spy. Look, Moses said they're quite confident. And I think we've always said this. I think from the start, this team's just going to get better and better each week. They got some X factor out wide. Vuna, 3 tries last week. You know, if they can get the ball to Vuna and Milinia, you know, I think there's a couple of tries in them. But, you know, Moses said, you know, I think they're going to make some huge inroads around the set piece. I think that's where they're going to play nice and tight. And it makes sense. Like, the set piece has been going really well. It's been dominant over the last couple of games. And certainly this year, their scrum's been bloody dominant all year. So, I get a feeling they're going to keep it nice and tight and maybe play through that 10-12 channel.
Yeah, you're not wrong. They're gonna miss Metawai Thumu as well to, you know, punch those holes in the midfield. She's still recovering from her concussion. Korovata, their prop, you mentioned their scrum. She's been outstanding, but she will miss this week. But coming in is Tawake. What's her name? Bitila Tawake. She comes in. She's been playing over in New Zealand in the Aupiki Super Rugby. You mentioned Moses. He's a Queensland man. He reckons every single Fijian in Queensland will be there at Ballymore, so they have the home ground advantage. Is that right?
Oh, he's been rustling up support, ringing his cousins, aunties, uncles, and the Fijian community in Brisbane is huge, mate. They've been here. They first arrived. Well, the Raulinis actually first arrived here just after us, late 70s, mid to late 70s. And then there was a huge influx with the Takiris and the Vola Volas. So massive Fijian community. You can bet they're all going to be there Sunday afternoon. Plenty of carver flowing, I dare say, after
is this
the game.
Is there still a hole in the fence where they bring the carver bucket when they used to pass it over at Ballymore, or did they patch that up?
There's a hole under the fence where they used to get in for free.
Oh, that's unreal.
Do you think this Brisbane game will favour the draw then?
Yeah, for sure, mate, for sure. Especially being in Brisbane. No one likes the Waratahs or anything that comes out of New South Wales.
Yeah, true.
But like I said, there's a huge Fijian community here. And the Raulinis are a really popular family and name within the Fijian community. Moses' dad, Taito, played for the Reds way back in the 80s. So huge rugby Fijian community here. There'll be heaps of Fijians there on that. It'll be a home game for them, no doubt.
Who's your tip?
Well, geez, I think, you know, I'll have to go with Waratahs have deserved to finish on top and they deserve to go into the game as favourites, but that probably suits the draw. So the draw will approach it. They're underdogs, and I think they'd love that tag. So, look, I'm going to have to go the draw, you know, because once you get the crowd behind you and you get that momentum on the back of a really strong set piece, I'm going to have to go the draw.
Yeah, it's big a big call. It's a big call, and you're right. With the draw, there's times where you just look like they're not going to beat the C-grade team down the road, but then there's other times where it's like, mate, they will beat us. So, and that all happens in the space of 10 minutes in some of those games. So I think it'll be an entertaining game. I think the Waratahs will, in my opinion, and to be honest, the way my tips have been going, don't take any notice of this, but I think the Waratahs will get the job done here. I just think their bench will be too strong when they come on. So if they use that bit right, the Waratahs, their injection will... Yeah, I think they'll be just too strong towards the back end. T, any of your expert opinion here? Because you tip really well in Union.
Well, I just listened to Big Kef's and, you know, we're about to speak about last round, round 9 in the Super Rugby, and where I listened to Big Kef's got it right, and actually Toops went...
Oh, mate, it just went all over the shop.
But
fair enough.
I listened to you, went the Force, Toops went the Crusaders, and Sammy was not happy when they realised the... Force ended up beating Crusaders, and I just said, I just keep listening to Big Kefs every week.
I know, I should have listened to you when Wana played over in Whangarei as well with the Reds when they got up. So,
you're
on fire, Kefs. And speaking of Super Rugby, Battle of the Pacific, the Drua play Moana Pacifica in La Toka 2:05 p.m. kickoff over there. Drua coming off a heavy loss to the Hurricanes, and Moana coming off the bye. Battle of the Pacific. How do you see this one?
Huge game. Huge game. And both teams are at the bottom of the that top eight. Pretty desperate for both teams to win the game. Drua came off a bloody tough win last week against lost last week to the Hurricanes. I thought the Hurricanes were outstanding, but Drua and Moana. I actually don't know. Like, if you look at the form and home ground advantage, and the game's at lunchtime, right? I couldn't understand last week why, when Drua played the Hurricanes, why it was at night. Like, most of their games, and a huge advantage for them, is to play the game around midday where it's absolutely stinking hot. So this game's going to be midday in Lautoka as well.
It's hot.
So they'll be swinging from the coconut trees and the mango trees. you think Drua would probably win this game, but every game they've had, it's been pretty, pretty close. I think if Moana can manage its territory, reduce its turnovers, have a strong set piece, they're in with a chance. Like the Hurricanes, the second half, the Hurricanes were that defense that they showed against Drua. Drua just threw everything at them. And the Hurricanes were, they just showed some great fight and some great grit and resilience and just hung in there, and then just converted some mistakes that the Drua had into points. Has Moana got that in them? I don't think so, but you never know. I hope they prove me wrong.
Is that why you think Mick Byrne's gone with the 6-2 split on the bench? Because he believes, that's where it's going to be won and lost in that battle with the forwards?
Mate, to tell you the truth, it doesn't matter because their back row locks are interchanged with the backs anyway. So they're all the same players, I think.
Can you explain the 6-2 split? Is that the players that are on the bench?
Yeah, so normally you go a 5-4 split, five forwards and four backs on the bench.
Yeah.
So they've got a 6-2 split. So what they've got is six forwards and just carrying two backs, which means it basically points to they're gonna play a forward orientated game, try and gas out the forwards in the first half or the first 40, 60 minutes. And then you'll have more forwards reserves to bring on. That's basically what it points to. But like I said, they're running their locks around on the wings, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they definitely will. And just wait, just on the splits.
Did you say 5-4?
No, that's careful. I think he got his math wrong there. It's a 5-3 split.
Oh, 5-3, 5-3. Yeah. 5-3, oh, so it's eight players on the bench. Yeah.
That's all right. I didn't want to correct the big man, just in case I was wrong, wasn't sure of myself. But on the topic of splits, just South Africa, they did the 7-1 split.
What?
Did they do that against you when they played against Tonga in the World Cup?
No, they didn't. I think it was against Ireland. But that's the first time anyone has ever done that. And they played, I think they picked two halfbacks, but one of their halfbacks can play in the back. So it was quite strange, groundbreaking, really. I think they lost that game against Ireland anyway. So that's the first time we've ever seen that. But you've just got to be careful in terms of what, because injuries can happen at any moment. And if you haven't got the right player to replace a specific position on the field, you could get into trouble.
And just for our league listeners, when you make a sub, you're not allowed to come back on if you've come off. Is that correct?
Yes, you're not allowed to come back on unless you're a prop. And if that first prop's gone off, if he's got no injuries, he can only come back on if there's another prop injured, because there's going to be a safety issue. There's no other player can play prop.
Okay.
And you'll see all the time the gamesmanship of the props if they'll just start to go down if they want to get the other one back on.
Do the old leg, my hammy, and then
grab the neck because they no one asks questions about the neck or anything like that. So coaches like Kef, they've got all the tricks in the book.
And then just before midnight, they're on the dance floor moving that neck.
They're all
on.
Good. It's a miracle. Lazarus.
Miracle.
The Brumbies, huge loss against the Blues last week. They come up against the Hurricanes this week in Canberra, though. As you mentioned before, the Hurricanes are all class. Can the Brums get the job done?
I think they can. Back at home, in Canberra, freezing cold. I watched an AFL game last night that they played in Canberra, and they had jackets, beanies, scarves on. it'll be absolutely freezing in Canberra, downtown Canberra tonight. Yeah, I think Brumbies will hit back. Look, it's one game away from home. And Australian teams always struggle in New Zealand for some reason. I don't know what it is. I think it's probably more mental than anything because it never happened back in the day, right? Like we used to enjoy actually playing in other people's backyards. But these days, the home team has such a huge advantage. Look, I think the Brumbies will get back on track. It's one game. It's one bad performance. Flush it. Get rid of it. Move on.
Do you reckon, on that home ground advantage, do you reckon, you see back in the day, you'd travel to South Africa, you would go to New Zealand, then in Argentina, Japan. Like, you got used to learning how to prep for travel. Do you reckon teams now, especially the young ones coming through that hardly ever tour, do you think it's harder for them to prep and get in the mode that you're going there to do a job rather than thinking it's a holiday?
Yeah, and I think players now, they like to feel comfortable within, they like to feel good. They like to feel good in familiar surroundings. And that's how that would relate to a good performance for them. I just think, I hate referring back in my day, but, regardless of how you felt, your buddy just got out and did the job. Do you know what I mean? You didn't have to feel 100%. Whereas I think athletes and players these days, I've got to do this. This makes me feel good. I've got a little bit of a runny nose. Oh, I don't think I can train. Like, it didn't matter. We had pains and aches, and I actually enjoyed playing away from home because, especially in the bloody back streets of South Africa, we went to some places, Orange Free State, Pretoria, some absolutely, there'd be hillbillies that wanted to hang you up. But I love playing in those places because, it encouraged me and motivated me to play well and beat them.
Yeah.
And then straight after the game, get the hell out of there. but that's just that was me. That was me. And mate, well, if we were a little bit sore and tired and had a runny nose, mate, boo hoo. You gotta get up and train and play. We didn't have to feel 100% back then. So I think there's a little bit of that now, and guys are really hooked into high performance and feeling great and all that kind of stuff now. It's a bit different times, different generation.
Yeah, they don't measure your heart on the stat sheet, mate, so just carry on.
No school like the old school.
Is there
exactly. Gay mucker, hey?
The Rebels sitting fourth with all the noise that's been going around about their future. They seem to be doing all right down there in Melbourne.
They're going well, hey? Like, I've kind of written them off with all that. I don't know how they can perform, and they've had some great wins so far with all that stuff hanging over the top, above them in terms of contracts for next year or having a club for next year or finding a place to play. From what I'm hearing, there's only 19 contracted players at the moment. So the rest, I don't know what they must be just paid for the week or for the month or for the rest of the year. But, yeah, they've only got 19 contracted players. There's still a big question mark over their future. So to be where they are and have the wins they have, they're in fourth spot. Like, they're going bloody well and good on them.
It shows that Kevin Foote, their head coach, their leadership down there with big Rob Liotta being captain. They're obviously doing some good things to, you know, gel that team together. So hopefully they get another win this week. But Kef, thanks again for your insights, outstanding stuff. All the best, brother, and have a good weekend.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Have a good weekend.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, Sefa Paulo will be asking us a question. We will keep score. The score is 3.5 to me and 3 to you.
This finally, we've got a scene. It's a little bit closer.
A little bit of a lead, 0.5. And the winner at the end of the season will be shouting lunch. Professor Paulo, we'll start asking a question. When you think you have the answer, say your name and have a crack.
Let's go.
Growing up in Bankstown and Samoan, now playing on the biggest stage in the NFL, what team does Jordan Mailata play for?
Is that me?
For
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Answer is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, nice. Great work. You're on four. I was going to say Sea Eagles.
Yes. Seth sounds a bit nasally there. Is he? He's got the flu. Have you checked in on?
Must be getting pretty cold up there in Newcastle.
Rug up, Seth. We'll get you on soon, mate.
Put the beanie back on, mate.
That's it. Yeah. Not for the cold either.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, so this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby, and we can't pick that team again. Just with this one, though, my score is 13 to your 8.
And 8 of those are from
Rugby
Super Rugby
Union. So I've actually been struggling in the NRL.
I've got 2 from rugby. What are we doing, T?
Now, what are you doing?
No, your NRL expertise is not that great either.
What do you think about Toops's Crusaders versus Force?
He's done me over twice.
You would think Crusaders would beat the Force?
No, I wouldn't have gone that game. I would have gone my Smokey the Force for sure. It would have been, it's a sure
no,
thing.
Well, anyways, let's kick us off. Let's go. Rugby league. Who you got?
I need this sure thing. Broncos over. Who are they playing again? Tigers.
Tigers.
Yeah, Broncos.
Why?
Broncos because they're playing at Campbelltown.
The home of the Tigers.
Home of the Tigers. They haven't. Well, it shouldn't be their home because they don't win there. Out west, Sydney, southwest. They've lost 9 in a row at Campbelltown, and that's why I'm going the Broncos. And if they do me over, I'm going to be angry on Monday.
All right. Well, I'm going the Manly Sea Eagles to beat Parramatta Eels. Because this game is played at Manly, if anything, I'm more tipped against Manly lately, and they always seem to win when their spine's on. You know, when Cherry Evans, the Trbojevic brothers, actually Big Sipley, he's playing well.
Young halves combination for Para as well, so I think they're not going to do
Para
well.
Para struggling, yeah. So I'm going to see Eagles at home.
Okay.
Rugby
okay.
Union, you, who are you going for?
Can you not point at me like that? Like you, with all that confidence of your peacocking over there, chest out?
My pick will be depending on your pick.
Okay, well, I'm going to go, just their form last week was outstanding. The Hurricanes, the Brumbies, I know they're coming off a loss. They're at home. Again, I'm looking at the ladder. I'm going to go the Hurricanes. Hurricanes.
So Hurricanes to beat the Brumbies?
Yep.
And I'm going, because you barely get one right, I'm going the Brumbies to beat the Hurricanes.
Are you? So you? Oh, because Kef went Hurricane. Brumbies.
They said he believes that they are on the comeback and playing in Canberra.
He's got to be wrong at some point, Kef. He has to be. He can't keep getting
it
right.
It's going to be funny when I send your message tomorrow and start laughing.
Let's see how we go. That's our time up for another Nijin Footy Friday. Happy weekend. Watch all the footy. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.